Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning, church. My name is Roy Townsend. I'm the Grow Pastor here at the River. Pastor Jason is not with us today, but I'm excited that you made it. We call you the Frozen Chosen today. Is that all right? Call you the Frozen Chosen? You brave the elements to be here, and we're thankful for Thanksgiving weekend and all the activities that we were able to have as a church body. If you're new here or just catching up with us, we have been in the book of Romans. And many people say, what do you mean we've been in the book of Romans? We've been in the longest series we've ever had, and today is the final day of our study of the book of Romans. We'll be in Romans chapter 16 if you have your Bible with you and like to turn there. I wanted to make sure that I said hi. If I have not met you, please, I try to stand by the doors on the way out. Please come by and say hi. We always love to put a name with a face and as we go through and try to be the church, right? Try to get to know one another and stay connected. So I got a question for you, though. All right, I've got a deep question here. Have you ever, I've been studying Romans 16, how many of you are savers? Now, some people say, oh, I like to save money. I'm not really talking about money. How many of you like to save things? And you save things for another purpose. You save things. My weakness, I'll be honest, in case you couldn't tell, is my wife's desserts, right? My wife's desserts. And so she'll make 12 cupcakes, right? And she is saving them for when we're going to go visit you guys, or we're going to be at a party, right? Or we're going to be doing something. And I will admit to you that maybe those cupcakes have been replated before we get to your house, because we don't bring a baker's dozen, we bring 11, all right? Because I just couldn't handle it. She made them too early, and they're sitting on the counter, and I'm walking by, and she'll put my favorite little candy on top, and I'm just like, I'm eating one of those cupcakes. I don't care, right? I'm just, and she has been preparing, and they are saved for a different purpose, and they have been saved from me until we get to that purpose. I'm one of those savers too. I know some of you guys, I've been to your house, so we would call it hoarding for some people. But I am not a hoarder, but I do like to save things. And I was really proud of myself the other day. I found a 6-foot steel pipe. And I'm like, oh man, one day I'm going to need a breaker bar. You know, and I think I'm going to save this big old chunk of heavy metal, right? And I take it into the corner of my garage, and I set it in my garage, and I go, I wonder if I'm going to need a breaker bar. And my brother called me a week later and said, I'm really having some trouble. You got a breaker bar? I'm like, buddy, do I have a breaker bar, right? I said, you need to talk to my wife, because she is not going to be happy about me saving this bar. And now that you've used it, I'm never going to let it go. It's going to be in the will. I'm going to give it to somebody in my will. It's always going to be in the things. And we save for another time, right? I save wood. Sometimes I even save hardware that I take off of previous things, and I put it in a bucket, and then I'm going through the bucket, and it's a really good day, man, when I'm going through. I know I got one of these brackets in here somewhere. I know somewhere, you know, and I'm dumping out the 5-gallon bucket of screws and nuts and bolts and hardware, you know, and so I've gotten really good now. I do separate the two, the ones that I think I will use and the ones that I don't think I'll use. Well, this was a huge theme for me when we are looking at Romans chapter 16. For those of us who know Christ, we have been saved from sin. If you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been saved from sin. But sometimes we forget that we have been saved for service. And as we look at the end of the book of Romans, we can see many of these saints that Paul had and he was in relationship with, and they are saints. That means they have been saved from their sins. But he's going to give us a little clue as to what they were saved for. There is a purpose. Many times in our world, I get this question, what is my purpose? Why am I here? You have been saved for service to the body of Christ. And many times people feel very unfulfilled because they don't realize that we have been saved for a purpose. Saved to serve Christ's church, saved for use in the body of Christ, saved to serve the bride of Christ. So before we get started, let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, Lord, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be convicted, to worship with one another, to pray with one another, to give and love. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be working mightily today, that I would be out of the way. We thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So starting in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 is where we'll start. Apostle Paul is writing. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Now, chapter 16 starts a shout-out sermon, right? A shout-out chapter of this letter, where Paul is going to start to talk about many of these cherished saints and loved ones and describe, yes, they have been saved from sin, but they are saved for such a bigger purpose. And so we hear Phoebe here, right? She is a special servant. He's asking that all that run into her of the people of God would welcome her. And not only welcome her, it's a very strict suggestion slash command slash expectation that they help her in whatever she asks. It's not just, well, be nice to her, be sure to say hi to her, shake her hand. It's like, no. She gets it done. She knows that she has been saved for this purpose, and I want those of you that are there not to miss out on that blessing. Whatever she needs, I suggest you do it. She has been a help to many churches. She's been a help personally to me. Paul mentions Phoebe in this way. One of the commentators I like to read, Hughes, he says, Paul mentions Phoebe, whom he gives four endearing terms to. In that section of scripture there, in verse 1 and 2, he calls her a sister. He calls her servant. He calls her saint, and he calls her patron. A sister means that she knows that she is saved from her sins. Saint, she has been saved from her sins. But when you talk about servant and you talk about patron, there is much more to what we have been saved for. It's interesting how often we can miss this in our walk, especially in America, especially in Western society, especially in the church. We miss, many people are looking for Savior from their sins. Not so much are people looking for what they've been saved for. If we let that hang there for a second and think about it. Yes, our most important thing is to let you know we're all sinners. But from there, we have been called. We've been called to do something. Some of the older saints, they really struggle with this. Oh, I'm just getting old. Well, if you're still here, there's something to be done. There's a way that you can be of service to the body of Christ, to love people and encourage people. So we'll move on to verse 3 here. We have a famous couple here. In verse 3, it says, greet Prisca, which we would know as Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. And so this couple, you can actually go in a few sections of Scripture and hear about Priscilla and Aquila. You can hear about the work that they were tent makers, and Paul was a tent maker. And so Paul would make these canvases, make tents, make sails, make different things. And we know that Priscilla and Aquila were also tent makers. But they lived in Rome, and the Roman emperor kicked all Christians and Jews out of the city. So we don't want you living here anymore. Get out. And so they had to leave their home and leave their business, and they traveled. But this is one of those original couples that we see in the Scripture. And Paul is really interesting. Paul is the apostle. He's the great teacher. He's the deep thinker. He's a theological giant, right? And he has all these wonderful, loving relationships that he's giving us example after example. This couple worked directly with Paul. And it says in this section of Scripture, they risked their necks, risked their lives to help the work that Paul was involved in, to help the work of the church. And it says, all of the Gentile churches give thanks, for if it wasn't for their service, Paul's work would be hindered and stopped. And they understood that they're here, and that church met in their home. But you can actually look in Scripture and see other evidence that when they were in another town, the church met in their home. And when they were in Rome, the church met in their home. And when they were in Ephesus, the church met in their home. And you can study and look at all these things. And it's just interesting to see these people that he's calling out to. And what an impact that they had. If we go to Acts chapter 18, one of those verses that mentions this, there's this guy named Apollos. And if you've been a student of Scripture, Apollos, is a wonderfully eloquent speaker. But we can see that Priscilla and Aquila were not only used in the way that Paul mentioned, but we can see here in Scripture, they realized that when Apollos was teaching, it was just a little off. He was an eloquent speaker. He gave the word truthfully, but there was something just a little off. And it says here in Acts chapter 18, verse 26, he, being Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. It's just interesting that you can search the Scriptures and see these saints who knew they were saved for a purpose. Christ made a difference in their lives, and they understood what they were called to. I am struck that they knew this. I am struck that they worked hard at this. We can see this in Scripture many times. We'll pick up in verse 5 again, Romans chapter 16, verse 5. It says, greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Well, that's a pretty special greeting, remembering the first person that you worked with, that you saw the evidence that Christ had changed them. It also says, greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, which meant they were Jews, probably from the same tribe, my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. So here, Paul talks about the first converts, but then we see another couple here, a man and a woman, from the same tribe that went to jail with Paul for the service of Christ. They hadn't done anything wrong. The one couple risked their necks. Phoebe, who's mentioned first, we believe historically, she's the one who took the book of Romans to the church in Rome to make sure they had it and made sure it was read as it traveled throughout these home churches in the city of Rome. People who caught the vision of what Christ has called us, not only from, but what he's called us for. I'm not the first person to think of this saying, saved from sin for service. But it has struck me as I was reading the scripture here over and over again. Hughes writes again, he says, the parade of names in the closing chapter of Romans repeatedly affirms Paul's affection for his Christian brothers and sisters. Even though Paul was this apostle, his life is filled with many beautiful relationships within the body of Christ. And I have a question. Are our lives filled with many beautiful relationships in the body of Christ? Do we come and worship in a way that our lives are filled where you and I could sit down and fill out a chapter of people who we've loved and served with? For many, that's not the case. Now, some people would say, Roy, this is great history. Glad you're telling all of this to us. But what is going on? Well, sometimes we have allowed our culture of individualism, rugged individualism in America, using some scripture to back it up. Say, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, that's not really true. But it's a scripture verse that we tie to this. Well, nobody has to take care of me, Roy. I'm going to take care of myself. That is absolutely contrary to the scripture. When I say that, do you think you should take care of yourself? Most people go, yeah, right on. And sure, if you're able, but there are those that are not able. And I fell prey to this for many years. Never ask for help. Never be in a relationship where other people can look at you and say, how weak is he? Then one day I had open heart surgery and could barely walk. And I realized, oh man, do I need people? First time I woke up, they said, hey, glad you're awake. We need you to get up and walk. I'm looking down. I'm tied to about 7 machines. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to walk. I feel like a Mack truck ran over me. I'm going to walk. Yeah, I'm sure this is going to happen. I'm going to carry 7 machines to walk. And then 7 nurses came into the room. They said, it's time to walk. And each of them picked up a machine. And I'm literally taking like 2 to 3, and every ounce of my body hurt from the procedure. But they know that if I get up and walk, my chances of having a full recovery skyrocket. If I lay in the bed like I feel like doing, like I would have to do if nobody came alongside and picked up those machines, my recovery would be prolonged and probably not a full recovery. And I realized very quickly how desperately to do what I needed to do, I need others. And the body of Christ is no different. If we live our Christian life in the way that we're rugged individualists and nobody's going to know what we need and nobody's going to be allowed to help us, we are living contrary to his scripture. We're living contrary to the word. We can see that Paul had people with him. He had people with him to serve the body of Christ. People who risked their necks. People that went to jail with him. People that delivered the scripture that was written. People that did all these things. And yet we fall prey. Not me, Roy. Not me. Many times Pastor Jason teases about the ninjas that leave our gatherings early. You know, so before the last song and before the baptism is over, there's a decent percentage of people that get up to leave. And he very lovingly and teasingly calls you guys ninjas. And I try to stand at the door to make sure that you don't get out without somebody saying, hi, hope you have a great week, glad to see you, right? Because I know the first people that will tell me nobody cared are typically the people that get up and leave early. Nobody spoke to me. Doesn't matter that I left 10 minutes early and nobody was there, right? Pastor Jason, one day it was hilarious. I'm standing at the top of the steps trying to say hi to everybody before they leave, and he ran down the back steps and went out to the parking lot. And to see people's faces when they get to the bottom of the stairs and he's standing there trying to say bye to him, it really freaked a few people out. It was hilarious. And I know some of you, and I say it teasingly, I see people here that pull into their parking spot backwards so that they don't even have to put it in reverse to get out of here. They're already facing forward. Put it in drive and we're out of here. Somebody might talk to us. Get out of here. Somebody might want to pray. Put it in second gear. Let's get out of this parking lot as fast as we can. And it makes me smile, but it also makes me sad. There are times when I have needed men in this room that I couldn't do something. And I needed them. And it's humbling to say I need them. And even when I know I need them and I don't ask, I steal the very blessing that God has planned for them. That they are equipped and we're in relationship and they could help me. And I say, I don't care, God. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm not asking for help. But we see the evidence here in chapter 16 that Paul didn't try to do this on his own. He did it not only the direction of the Holy Spirit, but with the help of others. And he gives us a list. He keeps going over and over and over. In the book of Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he says, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, being saved from our sins, but also ourselves, because you have become so dear to us. We have been saved for these loving and helpful relationships." And if we come to church and leave early and are not in relationships with others, we're not doing it right. We're just not. And we see this example in the scripture to the church at Thessalonica. We were affectionately desirous. We really liked hanging out with one another. We enjoyed the relationships that we have with one another. Now, the fear is, in today's world, even when we're together, we're alone. I call it together alone. I'm real smart like this. We're together alone because we'll pull out our phones. We're together. And we're playing on our phones. Totally distracted from the relationship that I'm supposed to have. Even though worldly studies tell us that this will make you unhappy, there is a point where being on your phone, being on social media, screwing around with the video games, whatever we're doing to waste time. Now, I have video games on here. I have social media on here. I'm not a Puritan. But there is a point that when I'm with my children, I shouldn't be playing on my phone. I only have so much time with my children before they leave me as the Lord commands, hopefully. Right? I wonder why my wife and our relationship's a little off. You're playing on your phone. That's why. The time that you could be spent loving her in our very closest relationships, my wife and my children, this is a struggle for me. How much more will it be for the other people in this room for me to love them as Christ has called me to love them? Paul goes on in verse 13 of chapter 16. He says, "Greet Rufus," great name, "greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." She wasn't Paul's actual mother. He said, "Listen, guys, don't miss out on this. You will enjoy being in relationship with other people in the body of Christ. Hey, don't miss out on this. There are people that can play that motherly role in your life. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter in Christ. And you're going to be affectionately desirous. You're going to enjoy it. But many times, we just fall prey. Dr. Google, that means I searched this on Google. Dr. Google says churches are known for feeling unfriendly, unloving, cliquish, a lack of genuine connection, exclusive, and poor hospitality. Well, that sounds like a place I'd like to go on Sunday morning. That's what the studies are showing. That's what the world thinks of us. Why? Maybe we're together alone. Maybe I'm rushing to my parking spot. Maybe I'm holding back and won't let people know and they can't receive the blessing. Maybe I have this talent and I'm unwilling to use it. Well, I could help them, but that would be too much like mothering them or fathering them. That's exactly what Paul says somebody did for him. It's the Apostle Paul. And he calls out a woman who acted as a mother to him and the encouragement that he received from it. And then I hear some of the older saints, Roy, nobody cares. Well, if I don't care, then nobody cares. Because if you don't care, then how can I expect somebody else to care? Frequently, I'll go to other men and women of the church. Hey, we need you. I've got some young people that want an older person in their lives. Now, I've had a few men recently step up to this, and it's awesome. And like, I'll meet with a younger person. I'll meet with a younger man, try to help him with these questions of life. Maybe they don't have. Now, we're known as a church that's very friendly, which I love. We're known for a church that you have to shut the lights off after the 11 o'clock gathering about noon. I just go, I'm tapping out. I've been here since 8. I'm going home. But there's still people here with the lights off, sitting in the auditorium, talking and in relationship. And it's lovely and it's wonderful. But if it doesn't extend outside of these walls, there's something missing. There has to be another time. Rufus's mother did not mother the Apostle Paul when the church was gathering. It was outside of these walls. The people that went to jail with him didn't go to jail during church. The people that risked their necks to help Paul and save Paul didn't do it during the one-hour gathering on Sunday morning. It's outside the walls of when we gather. And some of us have to rush home from even the gathering. And we can see here over and over. Now, we also have to be careful. We can enjoy each other so much that we become a country club. It's just as bad. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's easy for me to love people that are like me. And for those of you that make me uncomfortable, it is hard. I'll admit it, I think God is funny. I've never been drunk a day in my life. Not one time. And I get hired back at the church and they say, you know what? We need you to help be in charge of recovery gathering. We're 200 people who admit that they're struggling with an addiction. And I want to tell you, I was uncomfortable. I don't know. I've never been. But I found out real quickly. Soon I became affectionately desirous for the people on Tuesday night because I opened myself up to actual relationships with people who are coming here on Tuesday night. And now it's one of my favorite times to be at the body of Christ is the time where I was probably the most uncomfortable. It wasn't easy. I know some of the older people look at the younger people, pull up your britches, get a haircut, take that thing out of your ear. I understand. It makes you uncomfortable. But I promise you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can become affectionately desirous of being in relationship with those young people and loving them and caring for them and being like a spiritual father or a spiritual mother to them. I promise you, it can happen. But it doesn't happen if I'm running to my car that's already pointed the right direction to get out of here. It doesn't happen when they call at the most inopportune time and need help. Oh, yeah, I gave that guy my number, but when he called when the Pistons were on, you know, the Pistons are a great team this year, Roy. I'm like, yeah, your stupid computer is recording it. You can watch it whenever you want. I have people losing their minds, like, I have to be there when the game starts. Not me. About an hour in, I am perfect at fast-forwarding the commercials, and I'll finish at the same time everybody else finishes. It doesn't have to control our lives when we're trying to love one another as Christ has called us to love. Christ shows no partiality. The book of Romans, chapter 2, 10 and 11, it says, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. Paul demonstrated this. In this list of people, there are people that are slaves. There are people that are free. There are people that are Gentiles. There are people that are Jews. There are men. There are women. There are old. There are young. All in this list of people that he's desirously affectionate for. But the most important thing anytime the church gathers is we can see that in the middle of this list that Paul has given us of these wonderful relationships, he gives us what's called a doxology. And this is very interesting. Paul dictated the letter of Romans to a guy that you would call a secretary or an administrative assistant. And he wrote out the book of Romans. But the commentaries tell me that when he got to the doxology, this was a way of Paul putting his signature. And he grabs the pen on the scroll. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes, not just what he speaks. Picking up Romans 16, verse 25 through 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Why does he write this? He's like, yeah, guys, this is the mystery that has been disclosed. If you don't understand, you have been saved from your sins. The scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So yes, we have to be careful that we don't just get to the relationship side of this. Yes, you are saved from your sins. If you've never come to that realization, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then that is the most important thing. But once you've done that, then you are meant for this purpose. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But then many people don't read verse 10. And so we're going to do 8, 9, and 10. It says, for by grace you have been saved through that unmerited favor of Jesus Christ. You have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Most people love verses 8 and 9, but they don't read verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Number one question, Roy, why am I here? You are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You've been saved from your sins, but you've been saved for service. The list there in Romans 16, we see these descriptions. We see a servant who brought the scriptures to the church. We see fellow workers who risked their lives. We see people who founded churches in their homes. We see people who are called the beloved. We see people who said they worked hard. We see people that it's approved in Christ. We see people that are chosen. We see people that mothered. We see people that wrote the very word of God as it was being dictated. We see people who hosted churches. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Love one another and serve one another as we have been called in Christ. Will you stand, please? Close in prayer. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we're so thankful. Thankful that you've called us to be the church. Thankful that you've called us to love one another. Thankful that you paid the sacrifice as we remembered in partaking in communion for our sins. Lord, I pray for those of us that are on the edge about getting close to the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that they would open themselves up to these relationships. That we could be like Paul and having all types of relationships with all types of people and serve the church and the body of Christ in all types of ways. Just so thankful. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.